It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Some have called the book of John the greatest book in the world. Well, John was one of the apostles, and he was the human penman that God had chosen to pen down the words that God wanted written down. And of course, John actually, once again, we can look at this as history. We can look at it as authentic history because God is the author. And he chose John to pen down the words. Well, the Gospel of John is only 21 chapters in length. And John could have written many more things about Christ, whom he knew so well. Now, in fact, in John 21, 25, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Well, right now, I'd like for us to look in the book of John, and starting with chapter 1. Let's read a few verses there together, and I trust that you have your Bible, if at all possible, and follow along with me as we go through the text. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning." Well, this brings to mind, once again, in the book of Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God." Well, could this possibly be talking about God? Notice, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, so we see that chapter 1 and verse 1 is speaking of the Word, and the Word is none other than God Himself. And if we keep reading down through here, we're going to find out that there's more to the Word than what we suspect. In verse 2, it says, "The same," and this would be the Word, "the same was in the beginning with God." And remember, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, according to verse 1 of chapter 1 of John. And notice in verse 3 now, it says, "All things were made by Him." Well, as we keep reading, we're going to find out more about the Word and who Him is. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Without Him. There's the word Him again. And verse 4, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Not only do we see that in the beginning was the Word, we see that in the beginning the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then all things were made by the Word, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 goes on to say, "And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." Well, we as we study the Word of God, and I found this to be true, that the Bible is the commentary on itself, if I could use the word commentary. Some people simply do not understand the Word of God. Well, maybe that's because of one or two reasons. Possibly the first reason is that they've never trusted Christ as Savior. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the only way, according to the Bible. And we're going to see that as we continue our study in the book of John. But Jesus is the way. He's the only way that we can get to heaven. And once again, I believe that one of the reasons that people do not understand the Bible is that they've never been born again. Now, another reason that possibly men and women cannot understand the Bible is because they don't read it. They don't study it. And once again, this would be the saved person who has been saved for a short period of time or a long period of time. I've met some individuals who've been saved for many years, and they seem to be confused as to what the Bible says. And when I ask them and I question them, "Well, how much of the Bible have you read?" And one of the answers that I get is, "Well, I just don't understand the Bible. I just can't understand it, so I don't read it. Or I've read some of it, and it just doesn't make any sense to me." Well, once again, I would say either that person has never been saved, or they simply are not reading and studying the Word of God. In order to study and to get the things of God. Once again, we must be born again. That's how we learn about God, who He is, and who we are. We are human beings, and human beings need God. Well, the Bible, once again, in the book of John, talks about the light. And the light shineth in darkness, according to verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, the Bible goes on to say that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, this is not the author of this book, this epistle, this letter in that we're reading in, we call it the book of John. This is not that John, the apostle, who wrote this book that we're reading now. It says the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Well, we know that the author or the penman that God used to pen down the words of John, he was also a witness because we're reading of his witness right now. But we keep on reading. We find out who this John is that's spoken of in the book of John here in chapter 1. It says the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Here's the word light again. That all men through him might believe. Now, it's not through the person who's coming to be a witness for the light. He's not the light. And it's not through him, once again, that all might believe. We could also say this, that as this John that we're speaking of here now, who was to bear light or to be a witness of the light, to bear witness of the light, we could also say that he was a witness. And we could say that through him that people could believe. In other words, he was a witness. He gave testimony of someone. And that's what we're to do as Christians. We're to give testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, he was not that light. This is John. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. In other words, he's not the true light, but the light is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light lights people's pathway so that they can see where to go and how to get there. And once again, the way God wants us to go, he wants us to go to heaven. So therefore, this witness came to bear witness of the light that each person in this world would be able to find their way by having the light shine for them. Now notice verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Now, who's it speaking of here? The light. Because verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Well, once again, you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we see in the beginning God created. And we study there and we see that God created all things. But if you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 3 of John 1 says, all things were made by Him, that's the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word is God. And as we keep reading, we're going to find something else. And once again, the Word was in the world, according to verse 10. The light, He is the light, He's the Word, He's the light. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, who are they to believe in? Who are the people to believe in? Well, it talks about the Word. The Bible talks about the light. He's the true light. And he came into the world. The world was made by him. We know that God created the world. And he came into his own. He came to human beings. He came to the people. Once again, you keep reading in Genesis how that God formed man from the dust of the ground. He created man and, of course, woman. And the people of the world simply did not receive him. But as many as received him, now everybody doesn't receive the light, but some do. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, what does that mean? And I believe that those who received the word, the light, once again, verse 12, as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. Those people who believe and have trusted God to save them, to take them to heaven, they were born not of blood. In other words, they did not get saved by something that was inherited. They did not receive salvation, we'll call it. They did not become sons of God by inheriting something from their mother or father, their grandmother or grandfather, or anyone else in the lineage of blood, in that bloodline. They were not born. They did not receive the inheritance or the power to become the sons of God through any kind of relative. And it goes on to say in verse 13, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't work your way to heaven. In other words, you can't become a son of God or a child of God by trying to work at it. And then it says, nor of the will of man. And once again, no one can will you to be saved. No one can pray you to be God's son or God's daughter. Now, they can pray for you, but they cannot make you a child of God. Verse 14 says, now, here's the word again, and the word. Remember, in verse 1, we read of the word three times, and then we keep reading, and we know that all things were made by him, and that, once again, he's the light of the world, and he's the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we know that if people receive the word, then they are the children of God. They become the sons of God. Now notice in verse 14 about the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Well, now this is John, the apostle, writing now, and he's saying that we were witnesses of the word. The word was made flesh. We saw him, and he dwelt among us. We've seen him, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, of course, this is the light that's spoken of. He's the true light. In verse 14 here, it's talking about the word, and of course, the word was made flesh. He dwelt among these people. He dwelt among John and the other apostles and other people on this earth. There's no secret. The Bible is plain that this is speaking of Jesus Christ. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is God. He was made flesh. The Son of God came, the only begotten Son of God. And we'll read about that in chapter 3. And it says in verse 14 that he was full of grace and truth. Well, without the grace of God, without the mercy of God, of sending his Son, without that grace and mercy, no one could ever go to heaven. It was through God's grace and through his mercy that any of us can say, I'm on my way to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And Lord, I look forward to studying your word and looking further in the book of John. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.